Good evening and welcome to the Caribbean Radio Show.
Are you ready for change that's long overdue? Equal justice, equal rights, equal opportunities for me and you. Then it's time we come together and do something new. I'm ready for change. Are you ready for change? Say yes, Jamaica. Let's form a new mission. Out with the old. It's full time now. We set some new goals. If you're ready for change, join the UIC and meet us at the polls. I'm ready for change. Are you ready for change? Say yes, Jamaica.
Okay, folks, the second time is a charm here. This is Maurice L. Harrison Jr. on the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. So sorry, must apologize. Something happened, technically speaking. I think what happened is we might have been inadvertently ended by the prior show. And so I had to reschedule this show to start at 8:30. And I'd just like to say thank you very much to Mr. Patterson and Mr. Cameron for holding on. And we are going to be going live and speaking to Mr. Patterson very shortly. Once again, this is the Caribbean Radio Show, and this is our Sunday weekly summit as we talk about different things in Jamaica. Mr. Patterson comes on the air and speaks to us about UIC and what the UIC movement plans to do as far as changing the way things are so that we can have a better country for all of us. Because as you know, no one better than Yard, and Jamaica's the biggest little country on earth. This week, we're going to be talking about education because there's 6 years of primary school education in Jamaica, and it is supposed to be compulsory and free. Children receive their instructions in English and remain there between the ages of 6 and 12. Schools may be state-owned or private preparatory schools. There is no free education in Jamaica after primary school, which ends with completion of grade 6. Children must pass an exam to be admitted into high school. A critical problem is that many bright children pass their exams but are unable to attend high school because of a lack of funds. Well, we all know nothing in life is free, but depending on how we approach things, we might just be able to make the best of everything that we have and use the full potential of our students. And maybe it's not a matter of free or cost, but it's a matter of how it's governed and ran. That and more is what Mr. Patterson will be talking about today. And we will be discussing education in Jamaica. And Mr. Patterson is going to bring the UIC perspective. Now, tonight, joining us on this show is going to be the actual host of the show, which is Miss Sharon Corinthian. Miss Corinthian joined us a couple of weeks ago, and she's going to be running the show tonight. So what I'm going to ask you all to do, folks, is make sure that you tune in, listeners. I'm going to be handing over the show to Miss Corinthian very shortly, and we're going to be bringing Mr. Patterson, and we're going to be talking about education. I know Mr. Patterson has been talking a little bit for the last half an hour until we got back up and running. So I see the board is lighting up already. So, folks, if you really want to speak to the host here tonight, just remember, you're going to call 661-467-2407. If you want to speak, you just press 1 on your phone, and we'll know that you want to call, okay? So let's get going here as I bring in Miss Sharon Corinthian. Miss Corinthian, how are you tonight, and welcome. Come, my dear, to the hobby, the host of this show tonight. How are you tonight?
I'm doing awesome. How are you, Maurice?
I'm doing great, and we got a big show ahead of us. Sorry about the delay and sorry about what happened, but we're going to take the necessary steps to make sure that this doesn't happen again. So let me tell you what is going to happen here tonight. I'm going to be sitting in the back lines here, and you're going to be taking over. Mr. Patterson is ready and waiting to go, and I think the camera is also Mr. Patterson, president of the UIC, Mr. Cameron is vice president. So what I'll do is I'll go ahead and let you take over here as you bring and introduce them and format the show and just tell me what you want me to do, because I know you have a song that you want to open up with tonight. So you go right ahead.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the program. Please, continue to send in your questions and your opinions. It's been a wonderful show thus far. and I look forward to continuing in that direction.
Now, just so you know, folks, Ms. Sharon, just so you know, I hear a knocking. There's two numbers that I'm, a 646 number and a 561 number. Whenever I try to bring them in, I'm hearing some background knocking. So I'm going to ask them to see if they can actually get rid of whatever it is that's making that noise in the background. Go ahead, man.
Are you ready for me?
Sharon? Yes, I am.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I just wanted to send greetings to Mr. Patterson and Mr. Cameron and just say that so thus far you guys are doing a wonderful job with the show. Very interesting conversation thus far.
Thank you so much. We're looking forward to jump right into it, Sharon. And
okay, Mr. Patterson, it seems that the 646 number, there's some knocking in the background, so I'm going to leave it that. Mr. Patterson, can you hear us, sir?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. So I have eliminated the noise. I'm so sorry about that. But somebody is calling in from a 646-477 number, and there's some background noises. So I've muted that. Sharon, once again, I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, let's right along so we can get right back into it, okay? Because I think our friends on Facebook Live were really engaged, and we need to keep that engagement going.
Well, live radio, you know, it's real life. That's what happens, and we're just going to continue the show. I'm going to kick the show up tonight with one of my favorite new songs. It's called Sweet Jamaica by Mr. Kuzi Mellows and the Anthem Band.
Today I call came through on the telephone. It sent a chill through my bones. Mama said, now that I have you on the line, when are you coming back home? And she told me how much she missed me, and I shouldn't stay far away.
Yes, with Corinthians.
Yes, Sweet Sweet Jamaica, you're the dearest to my soul. It's been more than 10 years for me, but Sweet Jamaica will always be the dearest to my soul. And that's why I'm committed to stand with the UIC in getting Jamaica to its fullest potential. We're going to continue the conversation now in regards to the educational system in Jamaica. I posted a question on my Facebook this week, asking people, my Facebook fans, if you like Jamaica, type yes. And I got an overwhelming response. 220 replies and 480 comments of people that saying yes, they love Jamaica. And if you love Jamaica, stand with us tonight, and let's come together to make Jamaica what it can be. A great, great country. The consensus of the post that I posted was in regards to the educational system, that the poor cannot afford to send their children to school after a certain age because it costs for education in Jamaica. And I understand that you guys were discussing that earlier, so we're just going to jump back into the conversation and continue to educate the people of how the UIC intends to change the system and help Jamaica to get back to the country that it should be.
She's talking about getting back to what we talked about.
Okay.
In other words, the last question I asked the participants, for all the other Jamaicans who cannot afford to pay for schooling, how do we handle that?
Right. A very, very good question. Now, let's remember that the way we currently pay for schooling now is that everybody, particularly the more well-off Jamaicans, are taxed. Most of the other, the majority of Jamaicans do not pay income tax because they're not in the tax net or the control, so there's no taxes, basically. So they're attending school, so-called, for free. And so that's why we end up with the quality that we end up with. We have a free system, so we end up with only 19% of students who actually take the exam passing, and 29% of those who are available or should be available actually register for examination. What the UIC is proposing is a market-driven school system where the government is not involved in the education sector. In terms of trying to set what students should learn, where they should learn, how they should learn, and so on. But instead, the government is focused on ensuring that the environment is designed for optimal performance in all sectors. So a child may enroll in any school that their parents so desire to enroll them in. And if you are a poor child, meaning your parents can't afford, the government, through the tax system, will pay for the choice of the parent. So the system we have now is that the government sets up schools and put you into them and say, here's a free school for you. The system we propose is one where schools are established, not public schools, private schools that provide high-quality education, and any child that needs to go to a particular school may enroll in that school, their parents enroll them, and the fees will be paid for that child to go to that school. Why do we want such a system? You want to have a system, a competition, a very competitive educational process, whereby the schools have to perform to attract students to themselves. Earlier, I explained to your market, you and I had a school, and if my school was not producing high-quality performance in our students, people will move from me and come to your school because your school is doing better than mine. And that's the kind of environment that we want to create in the education system, where parents have a choice, where the schools are competing for the dollars that exist in the education market, and therefore they're forced by market conditions to produce the highest quality education that our students can receive. It's also going to ensure that we have diversity in the school system. And what do I mean by diversity? Currently, we have one monolithic system right now where all students are put through pretty much the same general process. What you want is for the innovation of different educators to come forward. Some may create some really cool solutions on how to teach science or mathematics or language or languages and so on, or school that focuses on the arts or on engineering or on business and so on. So you have all this mosaic of variety available, and parents get to choose where they want to send their children, and that brings out the best in all of our students as opposed to forcing them all through a conveyor belt that currently rejects, produce more rejects than actual quality professional, well-educated students.
Right. Tamara Newman wants to find out, are we suggesting a charter school system, which is an American type system?
Right. No, we're not. We're not suggesting a charter school system. What we're suggesting is a school system where parents and industry determine what we have, not government. Currently, in a charter school system, what we have is a mix of public and private. Like in Canada or in the U.S., they have charter schools, which are almost like experimental schools. We're asking for an experiment. We're seeing that we have enough Jamaicans inside and out of Jamaica who are more than willing, able, and capable of establishing high-quality schools across Jamaica that are funded by Jamaicans and instead not being controlled and monopolized by government, which currently has failed us miserably.
Okay.
Sharon, do you have any questions for us or comments?
Yeah, Mr. Patterson, let me ask you a question here because I understand with the educational system and the thoughts of the UIC, the thing that I have heard a lot of people talk about over the last week is the fact that you get an education, and with that education, you go on in life. I'm sorry, I'm trying to put this in the right perspective. How would the UIC, for example, I'm just going to give my train of thought here. Let's say, for example, South Manchester. It's a very large farming community. It's a possible tourist community. The curriculum, however, in Jamaica seems to be more along the lines of just generally getting people prepared. And then what we end up happening is that the student seems to think that their only options are abroad. How do we approach that from an educational level?
Yeah, it's if you notice when I talk about these things, Maurice, I tend to be very integrated because we can't look at education in isolation of governance and of the overarching principle of what is the role of government, where does you as an individual fit in? And sometimes we treat our students like our people, like robots, like little serfs, little slaves, little like somebody, some god called government gets to decide what you do with your life and where you should fit into the economic picture of our country. And I disagree with that. I really think we need to get back to the basics of understanding that each person is an individual with the right to choose for themselves what direction they want to take in life. And so that principle goes through to education, where really, what is the purpose of education? Education is to prepare you for life, to prepare you for your personal decision about your career, prepare you for how you're going to contribute to your country in terms of your civic responsibility. Now, who is to determine what direction your life should take? What career you should choose, how you're going to design your family and achieve your full potential. What is your true potential? You know, when I was in school, I had teachers telling me when I wanted to choose accounting, they told me, no, you can't choose accounting. We think you'd make a great engineer. because you're so good in math and science. And my father agreed with them that I should do engineering and not business, because business is for girls and, you know, accounting and typing and all that kind of stuff here. Now, I'm an individual. I'm a human being. So I'd like to develop an education system in Jamaica that respects the right of parents and families and the students to choose. Now, a student may be born into a farming community, Maurice, but they may not want to be a farmer. It's not my job to tell them that they should be a farmer. And if farming is an attractive career for them, they will make that choice for themselves. What I want to make sure, however, is that we create a Jamaica that affords them the opportunity to be what they want to be. But if a person makes a bad choice, let's say the world economy has changed, we no longer need blacksmiths, and he chooses that he wants to be a blacksmith in an environment where we're no longer using horse and buggies, we now have electronic cars. That's a choice he makes. Now, he will have to reap the unfortunate benefits that nobody wants to buy a blacksmith services.
Well, not only him, but the Jamaican people.
Not the Jamaican people. You see, him as an individual makes his choice. He will have to suffer the consequences or enjoy the reward. Now, I don't want the government to tell him that he needs to be an auto mechanical engineer. That's for him to decide. I don't want to live in a country where the government decides for me or for my child or for anybody else's child what course their career should make. And I chose the blacksmith as an example just to be really out there to show you that a person may choose to be an artist. My father, I used to be very good at sketching and painting. And my father told me that that would be a horrible career because you're not going to make any money in that. No, I mean, Mark, you might be a testament to that.
No.
Just kidding. But what I'm saying is my father wanted to make that decision for me. Fine, he told me that I shouldn't go into that path. But suppose I wanted to be and chose to be an artist. That's my decision. And if in the end I can't make any money from my artistic endeavors, that's my decision. And that's the kind of Jamaica I want, where each person can choose for themselves and live with the consequences. Don't hold me accountable for your choices. But what does this mean for education? It means we need an education system where the many brilliant Jamaicans out there that want to design a school, somebody wants to design an automotive school or an artistic school of some sort, we want an economy that allows them to do that. You cannot compete with government. If government has a monopoly on the school system, you can't compete with free.
Let me ask you a question, right?
But do you understand what I'm saying about free?
No, I understand.
That's very important.
Yeah, but how do you deal with persons who have made the wrong decision?
How do I deal with them?
I mean, they're part of our
yes.
community.
Yeah. How do you deal with a race with Usain Bolt, with
uh-huh.
eight men in the race?
Okay.
How do you deal with the fact that only one person wins? What do you do for the others? The one that came last, what did you do for him?
Nothing.
Nothing. So why are we preoccupied? Every time we try to design government, we start to think about what happens to the person who makes a choice which turns out to be the wrong choice or a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's his responsibility. No, I'm not saying we're to be hard and mean. What I'm saying is we must create an environment where people know that it is their responsibility to think carefully and choose wisely. Now, let's say a few of our students in an environment where they get to choose and the families get to choose the choices which are not the most wholesome or the best possible. What you're going to have is you're going to have charitable individuals who are going to come forward, like myself. I mean, right now I'm running a charity called Yes Jamaica, where I'm helping the unemployed and underemployed young people to create an opportunity for themselves in business. So that's my choice to do that. Nobody is forcing me to do that. Then I go out, 1 second, Maurice, I go out and I invite other people and say, please join me in helping these young people. So we're all voluntarily doing this. What I don't want is a government taxing me or taxing you to do charity. So say they're going to decide which poor people they're going to help and they're going to tax the rest of us and do with our money as they see fit. I'm opposed to that kind of an arrangement. And the UIC designed a model that says the government must take a neutral position, a position where it provides an equal environment for everybody. So there's not a community where it doesn't have security or doesn't have light or doesn't have water or doesn't have good road. You know, so everybody, rich or poor, gets a quality environment, but some will not use that environment to its best and optimal outcome and obviously will have to pay the consequences for that and may get some help voluntarily from family and friends or charitable associations, churches, and so on. There's a role for that. The more government expands the charity, is the more for money they waste and the more they push out of the market those wonderful organizations like churches and clubs and societies who would have stepped in and do a much better job. You know why? Hold on. A church group understanding needs of their members better. Government is impersonal and way up there. And all they can do is build new offices, buy new printers and computers, buy wads of paper, lots of ink, and spend lots of money and run up large phone bills. And the end is still only 19% of our students having five or more subjects and 74% being uncertified at the end of the day. But we have spent billions and run up a $2 trillion debt and still have a poor country for it.
Okay, here's my concern. And of course, you know, in the USC, we
debate.
We debate, okay? We're not, I don't toe the party line, he doesn't toe, so we all have our own discussions, okay? One of the things that, you know, in what you're talking about, I'll think about, I mean, if you were starting with a blank slate,
mm-hmm.
it sounds very reasonable
okay.
and workable.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's not workable now, but it's easier with a blank slate.
Okay.
If you're starting with people who are not educated in a manner to make those kinds of choices, who makes those choices for persons who are not able to make the right decisions for their own children?
You see, Mark, it comes back to respecting individual rights. We have been trained to think that somehow we have to make decisions for people. We do not make decisions for people. Even the most ignorant, the person we may call the most ignorant, they, you ever see them teeth yet, Mark?
Who?
You ever see the ignorant person teeth yet in Jamaica? The person who you think is uneducated. You ever see him plan how to thief some money from thief products or money from somebody? How he reasons out and plan the activity to rip off somebody,
different people.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Both rich people and poor people do things. Now, if we cannot afford to go down the path, which we have gone down, by the way, which is why we're in the mess we're in, the path where we think that government is there to make decisions for people. Government is not there to make decisions for anybody, rich or poor, educated or uneducated. Government is there to protect the rights of all citizens.
There's a listener that's asking a very important question, and I think this has a lot to do with it. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes,
I can hear you.
Yeah, Ms. Tabitha Anderson, her point that she's making, it seems to be a valid point, is that we can't educate anyone without properly funding the system. What would the UIC be doing in order to secure the funds?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Without properly what?
Tabitha Anderson, she's saying we can't educate anyone without properly funding the system. Is there like a plan of funding? How would UIC go about funding or helping to create the funding for the system so that we could improve our educational system in Jamaica?
By the way, before we go any further, Tabitha Anderson is an educator.
Right.
She's a professor.
And she's asking the question, how do we can't educate without figuring out how we fund the system. And it comes back to my original point, that we have to look at this holistically. Right now, how are we funding the system? Right now, as the former Prime Minister, Bruce Golden, pointed out, when he made his presentation a couple of years ago, he looked at a 20-year stretch, 20 years of government. And over that 20-year period, we earned in terms of tax dollars and grants that we got from the U.S. and Europe and so on, all that money comes together was $52 billion over 20 years. Over that same 20-year period, we spend $53 billion, the interest and principal on the debt. So we took in $52 billion from taxes and grants, which means it's not even just taxes. We got some free money. We begged some money as well. So $52 billion we took in. And we spent for that 20-year period $53 billion. So it means we didn't even get enough money to pay for the interest and principal on the debt. Now, what that says is every dollar we spend after that on anything else in the country, whether it's healthcare or education or roads, we have to borrow that money. So obviously we have a serious problem. So where do we get the money from? Here's the chicken and the egg situation. In order for you to have income, you have to have production. It's like a family. A family that is unable, where the husband and wife is unable to be productive enough to earn an income, does not have enough money to pay the rent, the grocery, the telephone bill, and send the children to school. The same thing for our country. We have to ask the question, how do we earn the money? Currently, we have a situation where about 26% of our nation has skills that are certified. So almost 75% of our nation are unable to play their part in producing. We have been trying at an education system where the government funds that system for the last 55 years. The government funds it. How do they fund it? They tax everybody, and then they try to decide how best to equip schools, to pay teachers, and to pay for the operating costs of those schools and subsidize some children. The ULC is saying that method does not work, and it has not worked, and it will never work. What we have to do is to make education a private enterprise where smart people, which are not necessarily politicians, smart people can design better schools, better processes, better methods of educating our young people to produce various outcomes. We don't want a monolithic school that puts everybody on the same conveyor belt and churn out roughly the same results that we have had over the last 55 years. There are 2.8 million Jamaicans. Let's say 1 million of them are adults at reasonable age. We must have some bright people that can run and operate those schools more effectively than the government can.
Mm-hmm.
We have 3 million of us outside of Jamaica that are very, very smart people. Maybe the very questioner is asking may even know how to better run a school. How would you like to have 30, 40, 300 schools across Jamaica that are following one basic, one standard, one government dictated system, but rather 100 different schools with different methodologies, with different ideas that can be applied to by parents, and all our students can be going in? And what will happen? You have innovators coming out, creators coming out, really good entrepreneurs coming out, not just these graduates who are looking for a job at the end of the day. How do we fund it? We fund it because it's private. It's now the people who can pay, and those persons who cannot pay, the government pays for them, but the government doesn't dictate to them. So the parents
can
say,
Can I ask a question on that point, Mr. Patterson?
Yes, you may.
The question that I have here is, and this is, I think, goes with what Beth was saying, is that the average primary school child is now costing his or her parent anywhere, and this is what I'm saying from research that I've found, it's costing the parent anywhere between Jamaican $30,000 to Jamaican $40,000. That's $300 US to $400 US. And this was in 2015. It would cost thousands of dollars more during the term. Early childhood education is a huge financial burden for parents in Jamaica. So while I understand you know, and this is where I think government have not really played an important, a good enough role. The cost of education, how do we lower this cost? Because obviously with a cost of 30,000 to 40,000, just parent costs right now, how do we as a nation and as a form of governance, how do we get this or get the income available so that the parents can afford this type of cost for education in Jamaica?
The point is, we don't need to do anything. I know we keep saying we. We don't need to reduce costs. What we need is to allow the market to reduce costs.
Okay.
If a school that is run by government, when the teachers leave in the evening, they may or may not be inclined to turn off the lights. When a water tap is not working properly, they may or may not choose to fix it within a few hours. They may choose a few days or a few months. What I'm saying is, if Mark is running a private school, Mark is going to make sure that the light is used optimally, the water is properly monitored and secured, the infrastructure is maintained to produce the outcomes that we need. As long as we have these schools being government run, they will be inefficient, ineffective, and costing far more than they really need to produce good outcomes. We need to put the schools back in the hands of private groups like the churches, societies, individuals, private individuals running schools for optimal outcomes, and not public schools where, you know, who cares how much it costs to run the school if it's a public school? Which teacher is spending the time to analyze and reduce the cost of that school? Which principal is doing that when the government pays the bill or they can ask parents to pay more? And by the way, according to the laws of Jamaica, primary school is free.
Well, that's according to the laws of Jamaica, but in reality it isn't, because the fact is this $30,000 cost is actually, if it's free, how come these parents who can't even get $5,000 a week, how are they able to say it's free and they have to come up with $30,000 to $40,000 to pay for their children to go to school?
Because obviously the system isn't working. I mean, we claim it is free, but it's not free. But what you're doing, you're paying money for a substandard system because the schools themselves don't have full control. They just imagine a school where it's in a community and the parents, because the parents are paying for this or they're making the choices. They're sitting on the school board. They are involved in the curriculum setting. They're involved in the discussion and so on and so forth. Versus where they're told that it's free, where maybe I went to a school, Braes River Primary. Every Friday, almost none of the children turn up to school every Friday. And the principal tells me, Mr. Patterson, it is so hard. I mean, to get parents to come to a parent-teacher's meeting to check on their children's work. You know why that happened? The more you tell people about something being free, the less they appreciate it. Change the narrative, change the school system, and make it back to the days when parents were really engaged in their students' life. Not by force, but because it is a market-driven school system rather than a government monopoly dictated system.
Okay, there's a couple concerns I have.
Yeah.
The system that produced you,
yeah.
You are now a chartered accountant.
Yeah.
You did engineering in school.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about not passing your common entrance a couple of times,
yeah.
But went on to do very well.
Yeah.
I went to the high school in Jamaica. So did Maurice.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us did well,
mm-hmm.
and some of us didn't.
Majority of us didn't.
Okay, so how do you, in other words, the system that created some successes was based on what? Based on family, how engaged the families were in the lives of their children. No, I
disagree right there, because that wasn't the case for me, not my family. My family was unable to help me.
Okay, so you were an
No, there are many exceptions.
Yeah, but you're an aberration.
There are many exceptions to the rule.
I understand that, but I'm just speaking in general.
I was going to say that there are very many exceptions to that rule, Mark, because when I...
What I'm saying is that most children that do well are the ones that have the backing of their parents. It doesn't matter how good that school is, if the parents are not engaged, it's more difficult. I'm not saying that a lot of children don't do well without that interaction with the parents. Now, the problem I have, right, is that in starting a system with no transition, there are a lot of parents who can't even make decisions for themselves. How do we deal with it now?
Right now, how are we helping those parents? Let's start from there. How the parents who can't make decisions for themselves right now, how are we helping them?
We're not meeting the government.
Okay, we are not.
Yes.
But the results are not good.
Exactly.
So in other words, how do you change that narrative?
So what I wanted that's right now, and I have met many of those parents in Braes River and in Elam and in Bowler. One of the reasons parents, our culture has been one of dependency where the government said, we're going to take care of everything. So parents actually believe that the government is to take care of their children. So I want to change that narrative dramatically to let parents know the government is not here to take care of your children. It is not here to take care of you. The government is here to protect your rights. The government is here to provide public goods equally to all citizens, meaning every citizen must have a secure environment, every citizen must enjoy a clean environment, every citizen must enjoy an orderly society. But when it comes on to your private decision-making, it's really yours. And one of those decisions is education. I want every parent to have to sit down and say, which school am I going to enroll Johnny and Mary in this term? As a parent, not government placing you, you go. So you're going to have to go and apply to the school and say, I'd like to enroll my child. Why you want to enroll them here? Well, I realize you're running an auto mechanic program, and I like your program. Or I realize you have a dancing program, and I like that kind of program. Oh, you're an artistic student, whatever. So the parent now is engaged. Then they have to go, and they're because it's a private school, not a government school. It's a community school. It's a church school. The parents now are more engaged with it. It's in line with their values. You might have a parent who's a devout Christian, maybe a Catholic. She wants her child to go to a Catholic school. Right now, she's focused on the nature of the school system, wherever the place is. But she might want to go to a Catholic school. One might want to go to a Pentecostal school. One might want to go to an automotive school. One might want to go to a science school. One might want to go to a sports school. Why are we trying to take away the rights of our citizens to choose for themselves? If a man is, you know, the funny thing, slavery, after slavery was ended, every parent wants their child to be educated. The man can't read, but they want his son to learn to read. They want him doctor. So don't think that people, because they appear to, is we, the system that we have that's dumbing down people, that's divorcing them from making choices for themselves. But I said, no, don't worry. Government will choose your health care system for you. Government will choose your education for you. Government will decide what products can be sold in the supermarket. Government will decide what packaging must go on this. And we want to have government take over all of the, and you see, you know, Mark, and people like you and me, because we may think ourselves to be more intelligent, we think we deserve the right now to go and dictate to the rest of our citizens what is best for them. I don't know what is best for them. I don't know what is best for a parent and their child. They know what is best for themselves and their child. And I want to trust Jamaicans to make that choice for themselves. What I don't want is for them not to have a safe environment to make their choices. What I don't want is for when the child wants to go to school, the bus is late and they can't get a good public transport to go to school. What I don't want is for when that mother is trying to carry out her daily life in society, it is made difficult and cumbersome by government and other structures. I want the structure and system to be efficient, easy to navigate, friendly to our citizens, and then whatever they want. Give people the freedom to choose in an environment that is safe, that is clean, that is orderly, so that we can have maximum results. What we have done before, trying to dictate to people, has not worked, and it will not work. Even America is falling apart because their education system has dumbed down their citizens, brought them all to a common average instead of having diversity and competition and creativity and innovation to bring out the best in all their people. Go ahead, Maurice.
Well, the schools in Jamaica, and you can see the difference in the education system and the type of quality that the schools in Jamaica are producing, and there has to be a reason for it. And Tamara Newman was asking, she says, how do we transition? And then she answered the question herself and suggested resocialization. My question is this.
Hold on. What is resocialization, though? What is
I have no idea what it is. It's just a comment that I'm seeing in the red.
I could actually.
But to complete what I was asking, I'll allow you to do that. I'm just asking. The thing is that I understand that the fact is we need to provide we're not handing this stuff out and controlling people's lives. But when we make up these educational institutions in Jamaica, or whether they're privatized or not and being run privately, there's still the fact that there's a responsible parents out there that's going to choose to do the hair and nails instead of sending their kids to school. As government, responsible for governance, how would the UIC ensure or make the parents accountable for getting their children the adequate? I'm not saying everybody has to be at a higher educational level, but the parents themselves know their children, and I at least believe that governance should in some way be able to ensure, either through legislation, through law enforcement, or through something, to ensure that children do go to school.
Let me answer you. The UIC believes strongly in the rights of the individual. And a child is a minor, which means the government has to protect the rights of children from abuse or neglect. And so it is our responsibility as a government, our constitution, not just government, our constitution has to have a bill of rights. And one of those rights has to be that every child must be given a fair opportunity at life, which means they must attend some form of schooling that will prepare them to live in our society. And that is not us taking away the rights of the parent. That is us saying, if the parent fails to carry out their responsibility, the government has the responsibility of stepping in, correcting that, and charging the parent, which means this may cost the parents in terms of their freedom, or cost them monetarily, should they fail to take care of the rights of their child to access education.
Okay, so go ahead, Mark.
You know, one of the reasons we have laws in this country is to protect the collective, I mean, the most of the masses in the country. The few people that disobey the law. In other words, if we take away personal responsibility, if somebody is allowed to drink and drive, that's a level of freedom that they have. Without laws, you can drink and drive. Now, laws came into place because persons were not responsible. Now, if you have schools if you have laws on the book that mandate that everyone has to be educated, and the parents do not take care of their responsibility to make sure the kids are going to school, then that's a bigger issue. Some people might get these grants, for their kids to go to school, and they squander the money. Now, how would you give the money directly to the school? I mean, how would that work? How do you fund the system for persons who cannot afford to go to school?
So it's very simple. In some circles they use the word voucher, and what voucher means is that it is a piece of paper that is for school fees only. You can't use it to buy rice and sugar.
And it's redeemed.
Well, you have to
buy
the
school,
right?
Can I ask you guys to just stick up in there for me, because we do have a caller that is calling in, and I think the caller wants to ask a question. Is it okay if we just bring that caller in? Okay,
go ahead.
We're gonna talk to 954-696. You're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. We're with Mr. Joseph L. Patterson, UIC, and we're talking about education tonight. 954-696. 954-696. Good evening and welcome to the show.
Maurice, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Who am I speaking to?
Maurice, this is Kevin McLeod.
Kevin, welcome to the show.
I had to call in.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yes,
you have a question for Mr. Patterson?
Kind of a statement. First of all, what you have to understand is it's good to understand what the problems are before we can tackle them, and it's good to talk about them as long as we need to. What we first have to understand is that the education system in Jamaica is colonized. So it was created for the benefit of the slave master years ago. The young people who graduate from school are limited by the education system as to what they learn. For example, most schools, correct me if I'm wrong, most schools today do not teach the Constitution in school. They don't teach about detailed slave rebellions for a reason. They don't teach the philosophy of Garvey for a reason. They teach the biography. So you learn names and dates. That was my experience in school.
Okay, so Mr.
I don't know if it has changed now, but that is the problem that we have. And as soon as we can turn that around and put three sets of graduates through school and restructure the teachers' colleges, you will see a big turnaround.
Oh, okay.
As far
parents'
responsibilities go, if the parent isn't living up to the responsibility of sending a child to school for whatever reason, you have to find out what that is. And any kind of jail time, I wouldn't advise that. I would advise a mandatory education program, a parenting program.
Okay.
We're going to have to do a lot of those.
Mr. McLeod, I'm trying to kind of sum up your comment, because I think I have an idea of what you're saying, and then we'll just hand it over to Mr. Patterson to see if he can comment on it. I think what you're saying is that, in your opinion, part of our problem with the educational system in Jamaica right now is that it's too colonized, and we need to change that mindset. And I guess what you would possibly like to know and or make a contribution is to hear what Mr. Patterson would have to say as to how the UIC would actually try to change that around. Is that pretty much putting it in the right perspective?
Course.
Okay, let me ask you, Mr. Patterson. I'm sure you heard what Mr. McLeod said. Would you care to comment on that, sir?
Yes. The point that Mr. McLeod is making, he's correct about the problem that our school system was designed to facilitate first the colonizer and subsequently big business and the former colonizers and those now who funded Jamaica through various forms of loans and so on. Jamaica is not the only country that is suffering from that. Almost every country in the world today has an education system which is designed to feed industry. It is designed to create employees. It is designed to create people who do not think very deep, people who are not aware of their history and heritage, people who are unable to analyze their system of governance, as it's very clear, people who are prone to be easily led by the powers that be to continue the system that exists. So that's the problem. solution is where I differ from Mr. McLeod and most other individuals. They believe the solution is to continue the colonial system, which is to have a master called government dictating now new curriculums, new mandates, and new control of the individual. I am strongly and unequivocally opposed to that. I believe that people like Mr. McLeod can create schools that teach Garveyism and teach all other kind of ism that he and others think are important. And I myself am a full supporter of understanding the philosophy of Marcus Garvey. However, I believe that there are others who may have different interpretations on different things. There are others who may have alternative views on science, alternative views on religion, alternative views on history. Why should we give any group, any individual, a monopoly over the minds of our people and say this is the one alternative that you should learn? I would like to see a country with 600 schools, 500 schools, with all kind of knowledge to enrich humanity, different people coming forward with different things, some who will excel in the arts, some in the science, some in all other manner of trades and industrial development and design. That will bring out the creativity of our people. We don't know how much we have lost by putting people into one straitjacket and forcing 250,000 students through that straitjacket every year and say, this is what you need to learn. This is how you need to be. Just imagine if we had 10,000 students learning this, 15,000 students learning that, 25,000 learning this, and when they meet and interact, they stimulate each other's minds with great ideas, great inventions that we and I can't even think about right now. What we're trying to do is to hold, we're trying to hold the students of today hostage to our understandings and our thoughts. I want to free them. I want to liberate all of mankind to think outside of the many boxes that have been created for us. And the only way to do that is to have a private system of education where different groups of people, you can have 2, 10, 15 people, they have a grand idea. They might have a Mr. McLeod idea. They might have a Mark idea. They might have a Joseph
have
idea.
A
they might
idea.
Have a Maurice idea. But let's have all those ideas. Why restrict our children to what politicians think? Why restrict them to what, if a rich person have control of a political party, they then get through the political party to set the education agenda for the entire nation for 5, 15, 20, 30 years. Look what it has done to Jamaica. Look what it has done to thousands of countries around the world and people around the world. It has destroyed their creativity, stopped their energy, and robbed us of the value they could have contributed to our world. I am opposed to that, and I will never support a system where anybody, any person or group gets to dictate to the nation what our children should learn. I trust and value the power of the individual to choose for himself, and that's what the UIC stands for, the rights of the individual to choose for themselves the direction of their life. That's the best way to enrich a country.
Okay, can I just come to that?
Well, you know, before you do, Mark, I'd just like to say from what you said there, Mr. Patterson, and that's a very important point that I think you're making, is the fact that by giving people their independence and their freedom to, you know, to govern themselves, in other words, they can actually create a more, even the movements like the Marcus Garveyisms, the different groups, the different type of education, they themselves, by being empowered, would possibly go a lot further in their movement now than they're actually doing. And, you know, that comes in line with what Diana Hyman just said, you know, about what the role and responsibility of the UIC is. And she made a very important point. The narrative is not the way we govern, but the system of governance. And I thank you very much for that, Diana. Mark, back to you, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, I think Diana tapped into what I was about to say because, you know, people have personal choice today in Jamaica to vote for who they want to vote for.
No, they don't.
No, hold on. I get this point.
Yeah.
They're voting for either GLP or PNP. They have that responsibility. No, they have no other option because the system does not allow any other option. It stifles any other option. But in terms of personal responsibility, I think sometimes if you look on humanity, you look at how humans have always, how we've evolved as a people,
mm-hmm.
we've had people who are capable of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I mean, so I believe that if people are left to their own device, if everybody's left to their own device,
yeah.
I believe, yeah. and I'm not being, I'm at a risk of sounding like as an elitist or whatever,
yeah.
right? I think that'd be a big, some kind of a chaos because, I mean, you have your ideas are much different than others
mm-hmm.
who might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You might be right.
Mm-hmm.
No, your ideas have come about based on your experience. No, a lot of people don't have your experience. So there has to be some leadership and some responsibility for leadership.
But let's go back to what you were saying from the very beginning. You said there might be chaos. No matter what the UIC proposes, what we propose is not chaos. We're saying the government is there to protect the rights of every individual to their life, to their liberty, and to their property, and to provide public goods for them, meaning goods that serve everybody equally, such as roads, police, and
yeah.
justice system. So there's no chaos. What you're afraid of by design, because they've taught us to be afraid of this, we have been taught to be afraid of ourselves, to be afraid of each of us having the freedom to choose. We've been taught that the role of government is to rule instead of serve. The role of government is to serve, not to rule. We don't need rulers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be a ruler. What the only reason I am leading the UIC is to create a Jamaica that all of us deserve, a Jamaica that gives us all the freedom, the security, the space that we need to do our best.
Education allows better decisions. Okay?
No, but whose education?
No, I mean... Well, you're educated the same way that I was.
No, but I'm saying, but who's education? You see, I have had to go against my education. I have had to force myself. You see, take, for example, most Jamaicans, if you ask them, they believe that they'll never get rid of the pain period of JLP. You know why? Their education.
Right, okay.
They believe that they cannot stand up to government. You know why? Their education. They're afraid they're going to lose their job if they stand up and speak out. They're afraid they won't get a government contract if they stand up and speak out. So they have chosen, by their education, to fear the monster of partisan politics and therefore lose more and more of their freedom. Why I say this? They started out with no sales tax, then they got 7%, then 6.5%, and then in 16, their taxes keep increasing. As your tax increase, it means your income is being taken away from you.
Okay.
I mean, you're losing your freedom. They have a government now that can make any laws or regulation they want and enforce it on the people. For example, last point, Maurice, just recently, without any serious consultation, the two parties colluded and changed the laws to say now their parties can get 40% of their annual upper taxes. You think if they'd seriously asked Jamaicans to vote on that, Jamaicans would have voted and said yes. You can take our money and fund 40% of your party's operating budget. You think any serious? No. But they, because they are rulers and not servants, can just change the rules and say, we're now going to take your tax dollars and fund our two parties so that we can prevent any third party from ever having the kind of money they need to compete against us.
Which is why I resigned from the
Integrity Committee, the national,
right.
the so-called National Integrity Association.
Because I asked these questions, I said, hey, why are we funding campaigns to generate their own spin against the Jamaican people? I proposed that they took the money and funded TVJ and others to have debates so we can actually hear what the candidates have to talk about. But one of the things that I'm really concerned about is how people's decisions
mm-hmm.
affect in my life.
Absolutely.
In other words, if someone doesn't decide to do what is the right thing for their child,
right.
and the child skips school, doesn't go to school, and goes in the wrong company,
and becomes a criminal.
And it comes back and affects me.
Yeah, but hold on. Let me explain that to you. Remember, the UIC says the role of government is to ensure you are safe. You, Mark.
Okay.
And so any person who decides to become a criminal on the UIC system of governance, because the government is now going to be very narrow, very focused, very efficient, you're going to have a very well-equipped police force, very intelligent-focused police force, and a non-politicized police force that will be able to quickly apprehend and incarcerate those who wish to go against the law. But that's not the only...
Whoever it may be,
rich or poor. So what you want, and I keep coming back to this, and I have to look at this in an integrated way, we want a system of governance that protects the rights of citizens as its number one and daily mandate. Not a government that is trying to rule us, trying to decide who must get what scarce benefits and so on. This is what we have right now. And which part of the economy they're going to fund more than the other part of the economy. And who's going to get special privileges and who's going to get special contracts. We want to do away with all of that. All Jamaicans have a clean, safe, and orderly country that they can do their best. And if you choose to become a criminal, we'll lock you up.
I would agree with that. And to take a little bit of time here to identify where you're listening to the Caribbean Radio Show, the Knowledge Station. I'm Maurice L. Harrison. We lost Sharon there, and she has not been able to get back with us, so I've actually taken back the show tonight. What I would like to say, though, Mr. Patterson, and that everything here sounds great, and I really subscribe to that belief, but the fact is we have what we have in Jamaica today. We have a situation where a lot of what the UIC would want to do as far as getting a form of governance in. And this brings me to another topic, and that is the foundation part of it. Because if the foundation is broken, you have to kind of rebuild the foundation itself. And there's another project that I noticed that you're involved with, and that is a Yes Jamaica. And I think, actually, I've been looking at that project. I think that project has a lot to do with helping to rebuild the foundation, because that Yes Jamaica project actually creates for those that may have been left behind, and some of us may have fallen behind because of our neglect, but at the same token, we still become a burden on the system and that of governance in Jamaica can somehow accommodate and help those out of the situations that they're in. Would you agree that foundations like Yes Jamaica also helps to contribute to the improvement of education and what happens after we get our education?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the best solutions we can have in our country is where people like you and I create foundations, create businesses, create solutions that are not government. Because when we do that, we have greater accountability. For example, the Yes Jamaica Foundation, which I created with a number of other persons. I am the president, but I am not the person that can decide on where money is spent. And so we have a treasurer, Jeanette McIntosh, we have a general secretary, Diana Hyman. We have a board of members, which includes people like Mario Booth, my wife, Charlotte Patterson, Diana McIntyre, Pike, and such individuals. And so that small group of people can, like, vigilantly look at the resources, how much money, how much donations came in, what projects we're spending on, when are we spending on it, how is it going, and so on. And you have those small community initiatives. And we can have hundreds of those. We can have people who specialize and they want to help abused girls. Like I was at this function with Mark last night where, what's her name, Julie Mansfield got an award for her work with helping children who have been sexually abused to have their voices heard, to be rehabilitated and brought back into society. We want those kind of things. They're more effective than government. When you have government, you simply have large amount of taxes being absorbed, big offices being created, people flying on private jets or flying first class around the world, using up our taxpayers' money,
like nothing, running up phone bills, millions and billions of dollars in phone bills. When you have private foundations doing it, it's more accountable, more responsible, and those funds are spent. And guess what? Not just that the funds are spent. Spent in an accountable way, but they are voluntary funds. No government has gone to your head and said, because we're a government, we're taxing you now at a higher, we're going to double your property tax, we're going to increase your sales tax. Instead, you have voluntary association, voluntary trade, voluntary contribution. I believe we want to have a society that is moral, that is voluntarily based, as opposed to having mandates and mandatory rulership over us. We don't want any rulers. We want servants. We want our member of parliament to live in the constituency with the people they represent. We want them to come to parliament to fight for good roads, fight for good street life, and fight for clean and secure communities, not to have money to hand out to people in their constituency.
Or new government buildings.
Or new government buildings when people need water. We should be building dams to make sure there's adequate water supply, not borrowing billions of dollars from the Chinese to build new fancy buildings and air conditioning for unproductive politicians who produce only 19% success rate out of our school system. We can't afford that kind of thing anymore. But back to the Yes Foundation, we are very committed to helping young people to create their own businesses. We provide training, mentorship, and financing for entrepreneurship. We are very committed to helping unemployed, underemployed, or those who just feel like they want to get into their own business and need a helping hand. We're here to help them to do that. These kind of initiatives is teaching our young people that they must take responsibility for their own lives, and we're here to give them a helping hand, not a handout. They have to pay this money back so that it can go back into the fund and help other young people to start their own business, whether it's a chicken farm, whether it's a marketing business or an auto shop or a printing business. We're here to help you to help yourself, and in the process, make your communities more sustainable by providing jobs for yourself, for your family, for your friends and associates, that helps them build Jamaica in the process.
Okay, quick question. Is there an advisory board that decides which small company, startup company gets funding?
No, the board itself makes that decision. So currently the board has been very, very dependent on me just because of my experience in business and so on to make decisions on which one is funded, because they haven't done a whole lot of them yet. But as we expand, it'll become too much for me to decide on, and so more and more engagement will be had where, you know, as we get more applications coming in, they'll be farmed out to different committees within the board, and then a joint decision is made on which project gets funded. The truth is, we want to fund everyone, not just fund. We want to mentor. We may not give you any money right away. We might say, listen, let us help you to refine your business plan, refine your business idea. You may not even need funding. You may already have all that you need, and what you need is just some guidance to help you to get through that process.
Right, but who decides if a particular business is viable or not to be funded?
Well, the board have to do that. We have to decide.
So it takes away some personal responsibility from the...
No, it doesn't take away any... So the individual doesn't have a right to be funded.
Okay.
What they have, they're applying. So a person can come to us with one girl came and she said, you know, I like what DS is about and I want to do a business. And I said, okay, what business do you want to do? She says, I think I'm doing a restaurant. And I said, okay, write me just a basic outline of what will make your restaurant
different
and a success. And she was unable to do that. And I said, okay, do you need some help to this process working through? Okay, I'll get back to you. She never got back to you. So, of course, you know.
Okay.
Well, that's all in the form of accountability. That's all taking accountability and giving account. You're just providing the necessary tools and the right direction to help someone to be able to prove that, hey, this business will work. And that brings me, folks, and we only have about 15 minutes left on the show. time sure flies when you're having fun, even when you start late. But the thing is, what I'm seeing here, and I'm just going to sum it up, then I'm going to let you have some parting words. But before I do that, I'd just like to point out that on December 2nd, from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilton, 150 Australian Avenue, Palm Beach, Florida, there will be a fundraiser for Yes Jamaica. And for those of you who are not familiar with Yes Jamaica, please go to the website. It's www.yesjamaica.org. Now, why would I be talking about Yes Jamaica in an educational forum? And that is because if we've been listening carefully tonight, we would understand that education is like a goal setter. When someone goes to get an education, for example, when I decided to go to college, I actually thought about what I was going to do when I left college, and I saw the potential for business administration at the time. Now, it's the same thing with education. If when we educate, if our population is educated, but if they can see something at the end of that educational tunnel that they can step to, it will give them more of an incentive to get that education responsibly. Some of us can get away... Yes, sir.
I'm not sure if you saw it, but there are a lot of questions on the Facebook Live page that we have not gone through, Mark. I just some very good questions are on here, and I would hate for us not to try to answer them.
Okay, but I'm not seeing them, so go right ahead, sir.
Let me just briefly run through here. We have...
By Courtney Gibbs.
Where is that? Let me just get... where is it here? So
Courtney Gibbs here.
So... Saga Sue to the world. So I read that question for you, Mark. Mr. Patterson.
How do we make the transition from what we now have, to where we want to go? That's a very good question.
Right. So I'm going to answer these questions briefly so we can get through all of them. The transition, first of all, we have to transition from the two parties to the UIC. That's number one. So that the UIC can change the system of governance, which will reduce the size, the reach, and cost of government, so we can shift those resources to security, to make Jamaica more secure. And then, of course, to get to a privatized school system, all the existing schools, we will invite the parents and teachers and communities of those schools to take over those schools. We invite them, so past students, old boys like you for your school, you can all make a joint petition or presentation to say you would like to take over your school and run your school as a private. Mm-hmm. You have the old boys association, old girls association, the parents, the community, the teachers, the principals coming together. But anybody who wants to run a school will be given the opportunity to negotiate with the government a takeover of that school and run it in the way that they think best, and that will allow them to reach the market and attract students to their schools. Okay, that's one. In summary, Courtney, can you read that one for me, Mark? Sorry.
Sir, but we are kind of jumping the gun here. The UIC cannot fix education, crime, welfare, etc., until Jamaicans home and the diaspora fully know about the UIC. Outside of the social media, are we on the ground introducing the third party to the voting map?
Excellent question, Courtney. We definitely need to do a much better job of being on the ground and introducing the UIC to the masses. But we can't do that without funding. And so our campaign has been launched to invite persons like yourselves to contribute $20 per month so that we can start a campaign in January to go through all 14 parishes with town hall meetings to speak to the people, recruit candidates, and inform and educate them about the UIC. Okay, next question, Mark Lawrence, Norman Lawrence.
Does that mean those that can afford to pay for the child education will have to pay, and those that cannot will be subsidized by the government?
Absolutely. So, Norman, what we're going to do is, and in short, I can't get into the details of it, but basically, those who can afford to pay will pay the full price. Those who can afford to pay a portion will pay a portion. And those who can't afford to pay at all will be fully subsidized from the taxes that we collect from taxpayers. Okay. However, the persons who are subsidized will be required to pay back their country by way of service or funds. Okay. So nothing will be for free. So either you pay upfront or you pay later, but everybody will have to pay, but no child will be left behind. Back to you.
Yeah, Tabatha Anderson said, an educated population benefits the nation. It doesn't just benefit the individual. The government has a responsibility to ensure each child is properly educated.
Absolutely not. Tabitha, it is definitely good for every citizen to be educated. It is a responsibility of every family to educate their child. And it is not the responsibility of government to educate anyone. However, the government has a responsibility to children who are not yet at the majority age or adult age to ensure that they're given a fair chance. And what we're going to do is hold parents accountable. If you have a child, you are responsible for them to have at least a minimum quality education. And so if you're not doing that, we are going to charge you, and then we're going to make sure the child gets the education, but you, the parent, will be held fully to account to pay for that education directly or indirectly.
Okay, can I talk about that just quickly?
Yes.
How about those parents that are not in compliance? Are we going to have an enforcement agency?
Absolutely. Then we have to. It's a law and order business, you know. So basically, just like a person is going to be charged for stealing or for raping, the same way a parent who abuses or neglects a child will be held to account. And to not educate your child is abuse.
Okay. So we're hoping that that once parents understand the consequences.
We're not hoping. They're going to understand the consequences.
Okay.
Either directly
or
indirectly.
And what if they can't pay? What if they can't pay?
No, they have to pay. Like, it's very simple. If you have a child, you have taken on the responsibility, and that's the difference between the UIC government and the others. The others try to tell people you can make choices and escape the responsibilities. The UIC says no. So either you pay directly, or we're going to make you pay because we're going to mean you're going to have to work for the government. For example, you know, you're going to have to go clean streets for argument's sake, for example. To pay, just like if you go to a restaurant and you can't pay the bill, you may have to watch
the
bill.
So the UIC would create the employment opportunities then for the parents that currently have not, you know, they're in the system right now where they just can't afford it. So the UIC would create the opportunities for them to be able to afford it, because the fact is we have what we have. We can't change
that. So we're not going to, okay, we have to be careful with wording. We're not creating. There's work to be done. There's lots of work to be done around Jamaica. And so if a parent is unable to pay for their child's education, remember, they have this child. They will be required to work wherever we ask them to work to pay for that education.
Gotcha. Totally understood.
No, I'd like to mention something here, right? Someone mentioned earlier that we're taking on a whole lot of different topics here. No, this is quite a good ways from the next election. And we just wanted persons to understand where we stand as a political movement and to give them an idea of how we potentially fix these problems. There are different steps to get to where we need to be, and obviously there are priorities. This is basically a discussion where we invite others to make comments. And as a movement, these are things that we just discuss openly. I mean, I'm here. It may sound adversarial, but I mean, we're having a conversation. I mean,
to help the readers.
Right, exactly.
The more we debate publicly and invite you to participate, is the more we're helping you to make sure you ask your question. And if you didn't ask it or didn't feel comfortable asking it, you might have already answered to it. As Mark asked his question, and I asked questions of Mark as well, and from Maurice. But is there any other questions that we have here before we go?
Right, because we only have about 5 minutes left, gentlemen. So let's.
All right.
And I'm sure you want to wrap this up, Mr. Patterson.
Hold on, Maurice.
Swagger Suit to the World says, Mr. P, your idea is radical, and not everyone will get it.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny, it's radical, and not everyone will get it. But I can assure you, if everyone pay attention to what I'm saying, they will agree it's right. You know why it's right? The UIC is the only political movement today in Jamaica that is here to protect the rights of the individual. And that's what you want, a political party which is committed to your rights. Now, I can tell you something. Any government that makes Jamaica a safe, clean, and orderly country, which we are going to do, will have made Jamaica a prosperous country.
I think one of the biggest concerns some of our listeners do have is the fact that they're concerned about the transition.
Mm-hmm.
Tamara mentioned earlier socialization.
Yes.
Now, I would say culturalization, because we have actually been culturalized.
Yes.
I'm having a problem with my tongue here. Culturalized.
We've been culturalized. Uh-huh.
To behave a certain way and to have certain expectations
way.
Of government.
Yes.
No, that is through education, Tamara. I'm not sure that this will happen overnight. But we have to have an idea where we're going and take the necessary steps to get there. And
the vision.
It'll take some time.
The vision. Let me tell you something that I've noticed.
Not overnight.
Maurice, I know you're watching the clock, and you know, I keep watching. Here's something I've noticed. Every time a Jamaican leaves Jamaica and flies to another country, they drop into a new system, and they quickly adapt to that new
system. And they do very well.
Do very well. As a matter of fact, it's amazing how Jamaicans can't do well in Jamaica, and as soon as they come to Florida or New York or Washington, D.C., or Toronto, they start to do very well. They can buy a car, they can fix up an apartment, and they can make life.
The system.
The system. We must change the system in Jamaica so that every Jamaican can make life. They can have a good little job, buy a little car if they need to buy a car, and fix up them place and live a decent life. I am tired. I am sick and tired of Jamaica being a poor country. I know why it is poor, and we have to change it. What it requires is a system that respects individual liberty, that protects the right of the individual to have a safe environment, and ensure that every single child has an equal opportunity to a great life. And we cannot do that with an education system that is colonial or a system that is run by the government. It is a system that harnesses the brilliance of Jamaicans. There are thousands of Jamaicans abroad would rush back home to Jamaica if the environment was more conducive to set up schools and train young people how to be far more creative and productive than they currently are. I strongly believe in people. I believe our people can do this. Yes.
We have only about 2 minutes left, gentlemen, so I had to just show turn.
Quickly, Maurice. I went to Carnation Market, and it's almost like a microeconomy. When you go to Carnation Market, people, we don't tell them what to buy and sell. They decided what they want to buy based on the market.
Yeah.
So to your point, I think if it's market driven, most persons will buy goods that are most profitable to them.
Exactly. They will choose what.
Well, gentlemen.
And Sharon, for a wonderful evening. And I think we have to have a party for this one day.
I'm sorry we lost Sharon, and hopefully we'll get her back next week to host the show. Sorry about the technical difficulties that we had earlier, folks. This is a Caribbean radio show. This is the Knowledge Station. We had Mr. Joseph L. Patterson, Mr. Dave Cameron, as Mr. Mark Cameron, Vice President of UIC,
yes,
and Mr. Patterson.
Oh, cricketer.
Thank you all very much for joining us here tonight. We welcome you back next Sunday night for another in the series. Mr. Patterson and Mark, thank you very much, sir, for coming on the show tonight. And thanks for your input. And let's all make Jamaica a better place, which is all our intent. Yes, Mr. Mark, go on with your cricket. Have a great night, gentlemen. Take care. Goodbye.
Have a good night. Thank you. All the best, everyone. Take care.
Take care. Thanks for listening in.
My pleasure. See you next time. Next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time?
Yes, 8 p.m. 8 p.m. we'll be alive again. Yes, sir.
Yes. See you
Have
all.
A great
Thank
night,
you.
Everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right.
Okay.
Are you ready for change that's long overdue? Equal justice, equal rights, equal opportunities for me and you. then it's time we come together and do something new. I'm ready for change. Are you ready for change? Say yes, Jamaica. Let's form a new mission. Out with the old. It's full time now. We set some new goals. If you're ready for change, join the UIC and meet us at the polls. I'm ready for change. Are you ready for change? Say yes, Jamaica.